Isaiah 40:1-8. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He has given strength to the weary and increased the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Beautiful words from the prophet of Isaiah. It's great to be here. God is here and we are here. It's such a blessing. And as we sort of shift gears and worship by listening, may he bless each of us by keeping Satan and his distractions away. The world we live in is a messy place. I think I said that about a month ago, too. There's always trouble somewhere. There's always hatred. And there's always war, and it's sad. This past week, I started thinking about wars, praying against them, and it suddenly dawned on me that I have a list. Just in my lifetime, and I haven't got them all, but there was Vietnam and Cambodia and Uganda and Ethiopia, Sudan, Rwanda, Haiti, Somalia, Syria, Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, Ukraine, Russia, and now Israel and Gaza and Iran. And even with all of that and the ones that I forgot, and there's probably a whole list, most of the people who live in this country, in our country, Canada, who are of my age will say to you, we grew up in a time of peace and prosperity. But the truth is, the world is a messy place, and it's always been that way. Our reading comes out of a messy time in the Middle East. Israel was a divided kingdom, a divided land. 10 tribes to the north had the name Israel. 2 tribes to the south had the name Judah. The peoples who lived in those lands had long forgotten their promises to God, to the God who brought them out of the land of slavery and into the freedom of their own land. The disobedience fostered a separation, an ever-growing distance between God and the children of the covenant. But God remained faithful. And he sent people like Isaiah to call the people back to thankful obedience. And Isaiah wasn't alone. while he was in the country doing his ministry, Amos was there too. And so was Hosea. And so was Micah, calling the people to repentance. But the good words of the prophets fell on deaf ears. Eventually, the Assyrians would carry off the people of the northern tribes of Israel. They would go into exile and never return. The Bible tells us that God spared the people of Judah because of the godly king Hezekiah, but that didn't last long. And soon the people of Judah were carried off to Babylon. The world was and is a messy and violent place. Often the mess makes us feel sad. It makes life hard. There's so many things that we can't figure out, and there's so many things that we don't know, and they seem to have an effect on us. Just turn on the television or your phone or wherever you get your news from. What are we supposed to do? The world is a violent place, and everyone in the room knows it. The Bible says, focus on God. It's what you gems were singing about, jumping up and down about. Focus on God. Follow Jesus on the path of life. Open your mind and your heart to the Holy Spirit. Those who focus their hearts, their heads, and their actions on God will learn that God is always with us. God holds us. I gather that the gems spent some time looking into the actions of Queen Esther. Am I right? Thought so. Esther had a strong moral compass. She understood right from wrong. When she heard about the evil plot against her people, she acted. It wasn't easy, and it may have even been dangerous for her. But she acted in a godly way to prevent suffering. Esther followed the way of the Lord, and she succeeded. To this day, Esther is remembered by all Jewish people in the Feast of Purim, or at the Feast of Purim, and Esther is remembered by the entire Christian church. When I think of Esther, I also think of Rahab, and Ruth, and Hannah, and Jesus' mother Mary, Mary of Magdala, the women who traveled with Jesus and supported his ministry. Peter's wife, who went with him on missionary journeys, mission trips. Priscilla, Dorcas, and the other women of the Bible, and there are many. Each chose to follow the way of God and trusted God to hold on to them. In the history of the Christian community, there are many, many, many women who have worked hard for the causes of Christ. Sometimes very boldly, like Joanna Feenstra, name familiar to some of us. She was a missionary to Nigeria. And other times, not so visible, and we forget so quickly. But who established the networks of hospitals across this country of ours? The Grey Nuns, all women, and so many schools. Think of all the work Christian women have done in our Christian Reformed churches, fundraising, Christian schools, Christian colleges, and so much more. All of that meant hard work and sacrifice. It often meant taking a risk, trusting God. I am reminded of a podcast I recently watched by the late Billy Graham. Billy Graham said in that podcast, quote, "When you come to Christ, God doesn't take away the suffering, and he doesn't take away the problems and the difficulties of your life. Not at all. He promises he will give strength and grace and joy through all of life." In one of the episodes of the more recent television series called The Chosen, the script writers have Jesus say about this world. In this world, arms will still break. That brings us to our scripture reading in Isaiah. Such a powerful chapter. Isaiah comes as a huge blessing to us. Comfort, comfort my people. Soon your struggles will be over. Make way for the Lord. Everything in this world fades, but the Lord is forever. The things of the world may sparkle, and they may look beautiful, and they may be tempting, but like the flowers of the field, they're here today and gone tomorrow. Just look at all the wonders of the past, of all the empires, the pyramid builders, the aqueduct builders, those who conquered the seas and made beautiful cities across Europe. Most of that has come and gone. Don't look to this world for help. Don't look to this world for comfort. Look to God who sits enthroned forever. God is everlasting. Trust in Him, and He'll hold on to you. And I can't tell my sisters in the GEMS and the rest of the congregation how important it is for us to remember that God holds on to us. He doesn't let us go. Just like He sent Isaiah and Micah and Hosea and so many other prophets to Israel, He sends us His word, and He gathers us together in that word in His Son. God is forever. He is eternal. Trust in Him. For us today, God sent us Jesus. But following Jesus doesn't mean you're guaranteed a high-paying job, a big house, or that you're going to win the lottery. There will not necessarily be a life of plenty. In fact, the truth is that right now, thousands upon thousands of Christians suffer more than they need to because they follow Jesus. So where is the comfort, Isaiah? Where is the hope? It's the same question that the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism asked over 500 years ago. Where is your comfort? The psalmist helps us to understand where our comfort is. In Psalm 145, we already heard these words this morning, paraphrased this way, God is always at work. God is always near. Always. Many of you know that this past year has been an eventful one for me and for my wife, Trudy. A year ago this month, Trudy had major surgery to remove a bladder that was full of cancer. Last December, she had minor surgery to remove a lump that was full of cancer. Last summer, I became ill to the point that they induced me into some kind of coma. I don't remember. I wasn't awake. So that they could stick all sorts of tubes down my throat and all the other places they needed to do it. There are 2 weeks that I don't even remember. And afterwards, when it was all over and I got to go home, I had to learn to walk again. For those of us who are older, just think about that. I had to learn to walk again. When I first came to this church, the first thing I saw were stairs. And I wasn't sure I was going to make them. Where was God in all of that? My wife and I talk about that. We prayed for miracles, just like you all do. Just like we've all done. We pray for miracles. Sometimes, if I'm very honest with myself, I have to say, Pete, you don't really pray for miracles. What you're praying for is magic. For things suddenly to disappear and suddenly to appear out of thin air. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer isn't about magic. It's about calling on God to perform miracles. And where was the miracle in my life? The miracle was that I learned God held on to me. You think, oh, a preacher should know that. I do. But I learned it even deeper. God holds on to us. My wife and I talk about it often. In all of the months, God gave us what we needed. He gave us a sense of peace. He gave us a sense of calm. He took away frustration and anxiety so that we could persevere and go forward. Not getting frustrated and fighting, but being calm. Letting the people who could help us do just that. Recovery isn't always easy either, because as I said this morning to some of the elders, you can be alone in your thoughts. You can be alone in your frustrations. And you don't know how to explain that to anybody. You don't. But you're not alone, because God is holding you. Sometimes, even when you think that you're not doing such a great job holding on to Him, that doesn't matter, because He's still holding on to you. God is faithful. God is always near. We are burdened with anxieties, and Jesus gives us rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will give you the peace. I will give you the quiet. I will give you what you need to persevere. In one of her songs called You Say, probably familiar to many of you, Lauren Daigle sings of God with these words. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, you say I am yours. And I believe. I believe. I believe what you say. And that's the key. The key is to believe the word that God has given us in His Son. To believe God's promise that I am with you until the very end of the age. In another song entitled The Promise, by a group called Mile and a Half, or Half a Mile, you can hear these words. Jesus speaks these words in the song. Because you know I made a promise that I've prepared for you a place. And someday sooner than you think, you'll see me face to face. And you'll sing with angels and the countless multitude. This is a promise. This is a promise I made to you. That's why Isaiah can speak of comfort. Jesus is ahead of us. But the promise is ours. We belong to God in life and in death, the Heidelberg Catechism writers would say. We know that. Look around you. Each of you is a reminder to the other that God's promises are real. God doesn't leave us to face the world alone. He fills our lives with laughter and song and prayers and worship, and we're reminded that we are held. God gives us each other. That's what God has done in Jesus Christ. He has gathered those who believe. He has gathered those who listen. He has gathered those who worship. He has gathered His own into the kingdom. And in that kingdom, beloved, there are so many rooms. There's room for us all. Oh, we may have difference of opinion, and we may be of different ages, and we may have different backgrounds, and we may have different cultures, and we may have opinions about each other, but all of that aside, God still calls us around His table because He's washed us in His Son. And whatever differences there are, we are still one people. Young and old. One people. So what do? We rise up. We rise up in the strength and in the power that God gives us. And we keep on living and we keep on hoping and we keep on rejoicing because God holds us. God gives us strength. God gives us power. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus. And as you and I journey through this life following Jesus, we do soar on the wings of eagles. Because we're flying right past all the things of this world into the kingdom of Jesus. And so while the world sparkles, the kingdom of God is beyond description. John would write in the book of Revelation that the streets are made of gold. Streets made of gold. I mean, it's beyond description how beautiful. And that is our true and eternal home. So we rise up, not distracted by the kingdoms, the things and powers of this world, but focused on our God who is always at work and who is always near. That's his promise. That's our assurance. Amen.